Second Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked for long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee that have the like. They were celebrating together and congratulating each other. There outside of Vancouver, Washington, they had worked 5 months, day and night, round the clock, nonstop. This dedicated group of engineers and construction workers carved through a mountain. And in the process, they moved over 1 million cubic yards of rock. That was quite an accomplishment, was quite a feat. But as impressive as that is, to move 1 million cubic yards in 5 months' time, it rather pales in comparison to what happened May 18, 1981. There, a little further away from Vancouver, Washington, a mount called St. Helens blew her top. And in 27 minutes, 5,350,000,000 cubic yards of rock were removed and distributed all around the country. The power of God. It's incredible. What God can do is awesome. What mountains are you facing? What mountains are looming over you, standing in front of you? Hey, God can move that mountain in a minute or less. He really can. Now, most of us believe and do not doubt what God can do. But many of us are continually doubting if He wants to do it. Why, Lord, aren't you answering my prayer? Why aren't you, Lord, removing this mountain? I know you can. I know you can bring about the solution. Why aren't you doing it? The reason, and please note this and mark it well, God is more concerned about my character than He is about my comfort. Very frequently, I am more concerned about my comfort than I am my character. You see, I watch TV and I see things that I think that I need. But God, He sees eternity and he knows the things that all really need. And he's preparing me and preparing you for eternity. He is developing character within us. And so trials and testings, troubles and tribulations oftentimes surround us that he might work within us the character which he desires for us to possess throughout the eternal ages. And that is why Brother James, called the apostle with the camel knees, because he was such a man of prayer. By the way, are your knees like camels? James said, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, the testing of your faith works patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be entire and complete, lacking nothing." My Father is determined to work within me character so that I will not be lacking. Therefore, mountains do stand before me, and testings and troubles are indeed around me, because he's working within me. He's more concerned about my character than he is about my comfort. And he's more concerned about your character than he is about your comfort. He's preparing you for eternity. Count it all joy. Oh, far out, another mountain, great. Another trial, all right, wonderful. That's what the Bible says to do. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, that you may be entire and complete, lacking nothing. Well, John, does that mean this Christian experience, this Christian walk, is going to be one eruption after another? One difficulty after another? Will God not bless us now, presently? Are the blessings of God simply for eternity beyond and don't relate to my situation today? Listen. Your Father, my Father, wants and desires to bless presently. Not just eternally, but presently as well. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, we read, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the heart of them whose heart is perfect toward him." The word perfect means complete. The Lord's eyes go to and fro throughout this assembly, throughout this country. The Lord's eyes go to and fro throughout the world looking for a man in whom he can show himself strong, in whom he can bless, a man or a woman whom he can trust with his blessing. Not just break and prepare for eternity, but presently trust with his blessing. Are you such an individual? Can the Lord trust you with the blessings that he desires to pour out upon you? In our text, we have a man who was entrusted with much blessing. God found in Solomon a man who he could bless abundantly. In fact, if you look back to chapter 1, in verse 15, we read that the king made silver and gold at Jerusalem as plenteous as stones. Silver and gold was so abundant, it was like dirt or rocks. The guy was loaded. He was real rich. Why? Because God saw that in Solomon there was a man whom he could entrust blessings and riches and honor, and he poured it out lavishly. David had died. Solomon had ascended to the throne. And in chapter 1, after Solomon had ascended to the throne, he assembled the congregation of Israel there at a place called Gibeon, verse 3, where the tabernacle of the Lord was. And they went before the altar, and they offered offering to the Lord. Solomon himself, verse 6, offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. Now we get burnt out or burned up with one offering. Solomon offered 1,000 offerings. He spent the day worshiping the Lord and giving to the Lord and praising the Lord and blessing the Lord. That night, after he had spent time of inspiration, worship, came revelation. Folks, listen. That's why what took place here just a few minutes ago is so important. Worship sensitizes you and begins to allow you to hear the Word of God. Worship to God does sensitize you to the Word of God. Solomon had spent the day offering 1,000 burnt offerings and worshiping and praising. Now he was sensitized. Haven't you found that true? You worship the Lord, you spend time with the Lord in praise and song, and suddenly you began to hear His voice. The Bible becomes alive. And you begin to hear His voice in your heart. That's one of the important advantages of worship. Well, that night, the Lord spoke to Solomon. And He came to Solomon and said, "What do you want? I'm blessed with you. What do you want?" And Solomon did something which I think is really wonderful. Solomon did not begin with the gimmies. Give me this and give me that. But he first began by acknowledging what the Lord had already done for him. "Oh Lord, you've been so good to me. You've shown mercy to my father David and made promises to David concerning me. And you've allowed me to reign in the kingdom." That's always a good place to start, folks. Not with the gimmies, but with just beginning to remember and reflect upon what God has already given. So often we're jealous or envious with the way the Lord is blessing somebody else. Why they seem to get all the goodies. Listen, stop and reflect upon what He's done for you. He's given you salvation. You were a captive of Satan, ensnared by sin. And the Father ransomed you from the kingdom of Satan with a very heavy duty price. That is, the gift of His own Son. Now listen. You've been saved as God sacrificed His Son for your salvation. Listen while I read to you from Romans what Paul has to say in light of that, chapter 8. Verse 31, "What shall we then say? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Romans 8, 31 and 32. Anything that you're asking for, anything that you're in need of, physically, financially, spiritually, whatever it might be, anything that you are in need of pales in light of what God has already done. In comparison, it's nothing. If God gave you His Son Jesus, if you're a Christian here, you've been chosen, you've been saved, and if God the Father gave Jesus for you, don't you know that any request that you bring to Him is nothing in comparison to what He's already given? He'll give you all things as long as it's for your good, for your benefit. You're saved, folks. He's already given you the greatest gift of all. Not only are you saved, but you're part of His kingdom. Even as Solomon said, "Oh Lord, you're good. You've caused me to reign." The Bible says you are a joint heir with Christ Jesus. You are going to be ruling and reigning with Christ throughout eternity. Jesus right now is preparing a place for you. Right now. In heaven. No matter how brutal things might be here and how tough they might seem, the Lord is preparing a place for you. It's going to be great. And when you see it, I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. Not in the least. Not at all. Now, in light of this, Solomon says, oh, you've been so good. You've been merciful. You've allowed me to reign in the kingdom, even as the Lord has been merciful to us and allowed us to be joint heirs in the kingdom. Solomon says, in light of that, I only have one request, that I might serve you in the kingdom. You've given me an awesome responsibility. The people are as numerous as dust. I don't know how to go out or come in. In other words, I don't have a clue. I don't know what to do. Lord, give me wisdom in serving you and in serving the kingdom. God said, far out. Great. You didn't ask for riches for yourself or victory over your enemies or long life. You didn't ask for those things, and now I'm going to bless you with those things. You see, Solomon was practicing what Jesus would later on be preaching. What did Jesus say? After talking about food and clothing and covering, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Could I share that promise again? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, specifically he was speaking in that case of material things, all these things shall be added unto you. They'll take care of themselves. You seek first the kingdom and the blessings will come. What was Solomon doing? Seeking first the kingdom. Not seeking his own kingdom or his own comfort. Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to be pleasing to you. You've given me an awesome responsibility. He sought first the kingdom. And God said, I love it. And now all these other things shall be added unto you. In the year 1200, there was another man who sought first the kingdom. He was the son of a wealthy Italian merchant. And in his late teens, he saw the vanity of seeking first a temporal, material kingdom. As he was worshiping the Lord, he had an encounter with the Lord. And he renounced all of his earthly possessions, took on an old piece of burlap, and a piece of rope that was used to tie up a scarecrow outside of the town there, fastened the rope around his waist for a belt, and he said that he would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness all the days of his life. This man became extremely insightful and extremely joyful. His name? Saint Francis of Assisi. Was he blessed materially? No, because he didn't want to be. He found liberty in the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 14 declares the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. That's what your heart and my heart is really crying out for. We think we're crying out for a new VCR. We think we're crying out for a new car. A new set of golf clubs. What you're really crying out for is righteousness, being right with God. Peace, having the peace of God, and joy in God. That's what your soul is crying out for and really craving. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. And Francis, there in 1200, said, "I'm seeking first the kingdom." And he was one of the most Christ-like figures and most contented people who ever walked the face of this earth. Listen to what he wrote concerning a prayer that he prayed. "Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, let me sow joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as much to console others. Not so much to be understood as to understand. Not so much to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are awakened to eternal life." I like that. A man who found the secret, seeking first the kingdom. Dear friend, Solomon sought first the kingdom, and God was enabled to trust him with much blessing. How about you? Francis sought first the kingdom, and he had much blessing. Oh, not like Solomon materially, but spiritually he was rich and joyful and prosperous and at peace. Are you seeking first the kingdom? What if, now be honest for a moment, what if you never read this story and God appeared to you this evening and said, "What do you want?" Well, now he would say, "Well, knowing this story, I would say, wisdom, so that I can get riches and honor and glory." But put yourself in Solomon's sandals just for a minute. And you didn't know this story, but you were truly approached by God, and God said, "Annie, what do you want? What do you really want? Jerry, what do you want? I'm here. What do you want? Carol, what do you want? Phil, sorry." If he came to you and just approached you and said, "What do you want?" What would you say, honestly, having not read this story? What would you say, truly? Your mortgage paid off? Your troubles eased? Ancient Greek mythology tells about a king of Pergia called Midas. And Midas was approached by the god Dionysus. Dionysus said, "Midas, I'll grant you any request that you make." And Midas said, "Oh, may everything I touch be turned to gold." And his wish was granted him. For several hours, he was having a ball. Everything he was touching was turning to gold until he reached out to his friends and his family and found them suddenly turned to gold. And then he went for some food and couldn't eat it, for it turned to gold as well. And in desperation, realizing that what he had asked for was actually a curse, he begged mercy from his God. We, or at least me, am too much like Midas. I think I know what I need, but in reality, it can so often be a curse. What would you say, honestly, if God came to you? If your answer is, Lord, you've already done so much. You saved my soul. You've made me a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I'm reigning for eternity with Him. I just want to serve You. Whatever that means, Lord. I want Your kingdom to expand. Righteousness, peace, and joy to prevail. Lord, I want to please You. If that's truly your heart, know this. All these things shall be added unto you. Is that really your priority? How I pray that in this coming year, the Lord might make that the priority of our hearts to truly seek first the kingdom, not our kingdom, but His kingdom. To truly enjoy worshiping and serving. To not seek to be consoled as so much to console others. To not seek to be loved as much as to love others. To not seek to be understood as much to understand others. For it is in giving that we receive. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you.